I want to take us back to the book of Jonah for just a few minutes. Look at this story again. I told the story to the kids and the children for a minute. Here are a few words from Jonah itself. Vayahi davar Adonai el Yonah vein amitai lemor. Kum lev. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Hebrew, isn't it? Doesn't do you better. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, go at once to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Away from the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, that's quite frequently a tempting desire, a tempting objective, to get away from the presence of the Lord, to try to get out of God's presence, because you see, when you are in God's presence, that means that you have to hear and listen and accept God's will and obey. And I'm sorry to say that's not very easy for most of us. I've tried to run away from God's presence in my past. I've done it several times when God first called me to the ministry. I tried to run away from God's presence. I took it as a calling to teach, and then I took it as a calling to teach future preachers, and then I took it as a calling to be involved in various kinds of ministries in the local church, not thinking that I would be called to pastor the local church. I thought I was called to be a chaplain or a teacher or to serve in some other aspect of ministry, but never that I want to follow God's calling on my life to be the pastor of a congregation. I tried to run away from God's calling, tried to run away from the presence of the Lord. We all do that from time to time. We have all tried to run away from the presence of the Lord in our lives. We've all tried to get away from what God has called us to do. We have all tried to get away from what God is calling us to proclaim. And yet, if we try, and when we try, we discover quite frequently that it's just as fruitless as Jonah's running away. God called Jonah to preach a message of repentance to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, a most powerful city, a city filled with rulers and soldiers and politicians and merchants and priests of many different religions. It was a great city, a city known all over the world at that time, what was known of the world at that time. It was a great city. It was not the place that you would normally go to proclaim repentance. I mean, if you go there, you're going to get run through with a sword. You're like going to Washington, D.C. and proclaiming out some subversive political message from the mall in the center of the city. No, my friends, this was not something that you would want to do. It certainly wasn't something that Jonah wanted to do, and so he ran off. He ran down to Joppa and got on a ship to go to Tarshish. And they were out there in the middle of the sea, and the storm came up. God said, the storm. Here they are rocking in the sea, and it gets worse and worse, and they're afraid that they're going to capsize, so they start throwing things overboard to try to make the ship lighter, to give them, keep them from going too deeply into the water. And that didn't help, and things were getting really bad, and so they started casting lots. That's throwing dice to try to figure out who in the world was the cause of the problem. And the lots fell at Jonah's feet. And so they asked Jonah who he was. And he said that he worshipped the Lord God who made the sea. And they said, well, he must have done something wrong. And so they picked him up and they threw him overboard. And instantly, his storm at sea. That should tell us something about what happens to us when we try to run away from God. We can try really hard, and we can think we're making a whole lot of progress. We can get on a ship and be out at sea, thinking we're getting away from the presence of the Lord, when in fact, wherever we are, we're in the presence of the Lord, and God causes a storm to rise up in our lives. In the midst of the storm, we get thrown into the sea. When God's chastisement comes, when God punishes, peace is established. That's the first thing you learn. We can try to run away, but we can't succeed. When God punishes, when God chastises us, peace is established. Along comes a great big fish, who gobbles him up. And he spends 3 days and three nights in the belly of this fish. Repents and gets literally barfed out onto the seashore. Now, what the story doesn't tell you, and it's always been one of the facets of the story that's always fascinated me, is the fact that that fish swallowed Jonah in the Mediterranean. And yet he was barfed out along the shore of the Persian Gulf. Because he went to Nineveh from there, and it wasn't that far of a trip. A long way from the Mediterranean Sea to Nineveh. Not very far from the Persian Gulf. He got barked out on the shore of the Persian Gulf, got swallowed in the Mediterranean Sea. There is no Suez Canal for the fish to go through to get there. He had to go all the way around Africa, so either that fish swam very quickly, or it was some kind of a suborbital puke. But however God got him there, he got barked up on the shore of the Persian Gulf, and he makes it, after that, wiping off all them fish guts, I'm sure I would do what God told me to do too, wouldn't you? When you go through a ringer in your life, when you go through a time of disaster, pain and anguish, when you have been run through the ringer, when God has taken you and forced you back where God wants you to be, aren't you more ready to do what God calls you to do? Oh my. Going through a difficult time in one's life really opens up the spiritual eyes and ears to listen to what God has to say. God told him again, where our reading today picks up. God told him again, get up and go to Nineveh and preach this message of repentance to them. And so he does. And he gets to the city. It's a huge city, so large that you can walk across it, and it takes 3 days to make the trip. That's bigger than Wichita Falls, my friend. It would take 3 days to walk from one end to the other of the city. So 3 days to walk from one end of Nineveh to the other. So he walked 1 day's journey into the city. One third of the way into the city. And then he proclaimed the message, repent, or God's going to zap you. What did they do? They did something very uncharacteristic. They repented! What happened? Poor old Jonah. He's been through a whole lot. He tried to run away. He got swallowed by a fish, got barfed up on the ground. Finally did what God wanted him to do. Now he thought he was going to get to watch a barbecue. God touched these people's hearts when he proclaimed the message of repentance, and they repented. God didn't barbecue. What does it say? What does Jonah say? What does the story say? When God saw that they did have what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind. God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. And he became very angry. I'm brought to mind the image of an ant standing on a railroad track looking up at a big choo-choo train and shaking its little fist at it and saying, I am angry at you! What's going to happen to that ant? Right. Exactly. That's about as intelligent as being angry at God is. But guess what? We all get angry at God. We are honest with ourselves. We know that we, at times, get angry at God. Why? My mother hates that word. Because every day it seems, when I was little, you know, don't do that. Why? Because I said so. Why? Because it's not good for you. Why? Because you'll burn yourself. Why? Ooh, she hates that. I want to write a book with the title, Why? Why? Hush up, Jerry. Why? We do get angry at God from time to time. I've been angry at God many times. And in every instance, the problem is not with God, it's with me. When we get angry with God, the problem is ourselves. And that's what we have here in the story about Jonah. Why was he mad? He was mad because God was going to kill a whole lot of people, about 100,000 people. Imagine that. He was mad because God wasn't going to blast a whole bunch of people. Wow. Let's keep going. He prayed to the Lord and said, Oh Lord, did you want this, what I said, while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. I'm making excuses. But why? That's it, he says. You want some cheese for that wine? For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishment. I was looking forward to watching them get blasted, but I knew you weren't going to do with God. That's why I didn't want to go. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's absolutely silly. Here, the city escapes being blasted to smithereens because they repented. And Jonah's mad and wants to die himself. I guess he thinks that his whole mission there was useless. And yet, it caused them to repent. This tells us clearly that our conception of what God really is not always right. Our conception of what God wants us to do and the reasons why God wants us to do something, not always right. We think we understand what's going on, but we're wrong. Here's Jonah saying, I didn't want to go do this anyway because I knew you'd be all soft-hearted and forgive him. I wanted to see him suffer. Like I suffered in that fish. It's not fair. God. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. I think I'm just going to sit down and sit here and make a booth and sit here and watch and hope that God will strike him dead. And if not, I'm going to mope. You know, that sounds like us. Sounds like me sometimes. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. When dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sulfur east wind. The sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint, and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. Why?
But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And Jonah said, yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you are concerned about the bush, with which you do not labor, in which you do not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in the night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? You're concerned about a bush. You were happy that it was alive, and you're mad at me that it's dead. And yet you're angry at me that I didn't blow away a city of 120,000 people and their cats and dogs? Good news for you and me, friend. God hears our repentance, forgives us, doesn't blow us away. God cares for us just as God cared for Nineveh. Because you see, we are Jonah. We try to run away from God's presence too. We try to run away from the Lord's presence and from the Lord's calling on our lives too. We get swallowed by our fish. Barked up on the shore. Then you go off and do what God says. What we think ought to happen doesn't happen, and we get mad at God. God provides shelter, and we're happy, and then God takes it away, and we get angry. And God says, I'm God. You're upset about a bush. I'm upset about a city. 120,000 people. We are Jonah. We live in Nineveh. We have heard the proclamation. We are called to repent and know that God will forgive. Are we just going to sit down and mope about how awful things are? Or are we going to rejoice that God forgives? God transforms. That's the question today. The good news is that through Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, we have acceptance. Through Jesus Christ, we have the wonderful proclamation that Nineveh will not be destroyed. We have the wonderful good news, the wonderful gospel, that this Nineveh can be forgiven too. My brothers and sisters, today let's not be like Jonah. Try to run away from the presence of the Lord. Today, let's not be like Jonah and try to get away only to be captured by God's fish. Today, let's do what God calls us to do and proclaim this wonderful gospel message of forgiveness to our enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm we believe the historic confession of the Apostles' Creed, which you'll find in the back of your hymnal, number 881. Let us pray. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Very blessed in the congregation this morning.